The scripture this morning is from the book of John, chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he shall give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much again for this time that we have to come together this morning to just have fellowship with one another and to joy and bask in that tie of love that binds us together in your family and in the body of Christ. Father, we just thank you so much for this wonderful book that you've given to us that we can study from and learn from. And you've also given us the indwelling Holy Spirit to take the words from the page and put them into practice in our life. And we pray for that process to occur once again this morning as we study your word together. It's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we ask this prayer. Amen. Well, happy Valentine's Day. Today is Valentine's. Hope you're doing something nice for your significant other. I asked Tamara what she wanted for Valentine's and she said nothing. So I guess I'm going to find out later today if that was really true or not. A woman woke up one morning and told her husband, on Valentine's morning, she said, "I had a dream last night that you gave me pearls for Valentine's Day." She says, "What do you think that means?" And he says, "Well, you'll know by tonight." So when he got off work that day, came in with a small package, handed it to his wife, and she's so excited to open it. And she opened it, and it was a book, and the title of it was The Meaning of Dreams. It is Valentine's Day. Do you know where Valentine's Day originated? Anybody? Show of hands. St. Valentine's, but why? Well, good. I'm going to tell you the story. About 250 years after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, there was a man, a priest, whose name was Valentine. He lived in Rome during the reign of Emperor Claudius. Claudius was busy trying to rebuild the Roman army into the, you know, big fighting force that it once was. However, he believed that it was important for men to volunteer for service in the military. He didn't want to forcibly appropriate young men into the military. So rather than draft them against their will, then he just wanted people to join into the army. But given a choice, most young men in the Roman Empire at that time refused to join because instead they'd rather stay home with their wives and their children than going off into battle. So Claudius had an idea. It must be only single men then that will volunteer to join for service. So he issued a royal decree that banned all future marriages. That way people would volunteer. These single men, or so he thought in his mind. He outlawed weddings in the Roman Empire, and for this he was given the nickname Claudius the Cruel. But there was this man named Valentine who thought that was completely ridiculous. One of his favorite duties as priest was to marry young people who had fallen in love. So Valentine continued to marry people in secret ceremonies. Eventually, he was caught in the act, as a matter of fact. The young couple got away, but he was arrested, thrown in prison, and then sentenced to death. But while he was in prison, many young couples who he had illegally married came to visit him in jail and offer him words of comfort. They throw flowers and notes through his prison window. One of his friends was a frequent visitor who was a daughter of one of the prison guards. Her father would allow her to come in and sit in the cell with Valentine, and they would visit for hours. On the day that Valentine was to die, he left her a note thanking her for her friendship and signed it, "Love from your Valentine." The note was written on the day that he was put to death, February 14th, 269 A.D. And so it is that that note and the custom of exchanging notes and cards and flowers and all of that arose, and we now have what is known as Valentine's Day. And so we celebrate our love for each other on this day, February 14th, every year. And of course, love is what I'm going to be preaching about this morning. Everybody loves love, right? We want to be loved. We want to give love. The problem is that we are creatures who are lacking. And so our love is lacking just as we are. Our love is often conditional, you see, upon our mood, how we feel about it, or upon how others treat us, even a loved one's actions or appearance or attitude. So how do we develop and nurture a love that's worth sharing, not only on Valentine's Day, but every day of our life? I think our text this morning holds the answer to that question. This passage was actually part of what Jesus said to his disciples on the night before his crucifixion here in John chapter 15. That night actually begins in chapter 13 of the book of John with the Last Supper in the upper room, and ends in chapter 17 where Jesus is arrested. In the course of what's recorded, though, in those chapters, Jesus used the word love no less than 30 times on that final night as he addressed his disciples. So you don't really have to be a Bible scholar to understand that that must be something that was very important to Jesus, for him to continually talk to them about love. You could make the argument that really it was the central theme of what he had to say to them on the last night that he had with his disciples before the crucifixion. The first step that Jesus laid out, though, is that we have to receive his love. Look at verse 9 again. He says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love." He told the disciples what? It's easy. Valentine's Day. Three little words. I love you. Really, that's what he said. I love you. And you know what? He loves you too. Jesus Christ loves us. There's a preacher who once said, "Everything I needed to know about basic theology, I learned from a children's song." You want to take a guess what that is? Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Really, that's it. That is the basic theology, the basic study of God, is that he loves us. You know where that song comes from? Jesus loves me? Nobody? I'm going to tell you that too. In 1859, there was a novel published. The name of the novel was Say and Seal, and the author was Anna Warner. And in the novel, one of the characters comforts a dying child and offers up those words of comfort. Short little poem, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong." A couple of years later, a gentleman by the name of William Bradbury was reading that book, and he came across that simple little poem in the book. So he wrote a simple little tune to go with those words and added a chorus to it. Within months, the simple little melody spread all across America like wildfire. And that's how a simple poem from an obscure novel became one of the most well-known hymns in all of human history. It's been translated into more languages than any other song, and missionaries still use the song for a teaching aid into the countries that they go into. to spread the gospel. That little hymn, though, you see, expresses the single most significant and profound truth in all of human history. The most important thing to all of humanity. And it is just that. That Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. 3 years of seminary study and a master's of divinity won't teach you anything more profound or significant than that one little truth. And it's sung in Sunday school classes all around the world. Receiving the love of Jesus and continuing in His love, living in His love, abiding in His love is the first step, the most essential step in us having a love that is worth sharing. Turn to John, while you're here, John chapter 15. Look at verse 5. Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Without Christ, we're nothing. Without Christ, all that we have is worthless, meaningless. It's not worthwhile. The only way we can have a love that really is meaningful is to be plugged in to Christ. To accept the love that He has given to us. As we draw closer to Christ and stay connected to Him, then He funnels His love into our hearts. Only then will we have a love that's worth sharing. Because His love is the only perfect and pure love to be found anywhere in this world. His love is characterized by unselfish sacrifice. And that's exactly what He did. Look at verse 13. He says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, starting with verse 6, says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." You know what our position was by natural birth, right? Our position is that we are sinners. That we are not children of God at that point. And we have no way to change that. We can't be good enough. Can't do enough good deeds. It just doesn't work that way. But God took the step to remedy that situation that we couldn't. "In due time, Christ died for us, the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, or perhaps for a good man, some might even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us," or demonstrates His love, "and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That's how much He loves us. John 3:16. We all know the verse, right? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Of course, that's God's plan of redemption, for Christ to die on the cross and to shed His perfect, righteous, holy, sinless blood for our sins. But even though that's God's plan, that plan needed to be carried out. And Jesus Christ was the one to carry out the plan. He loves us so much that He was willing to endure all of that. I've heard it said before that Christ loved you so much, He was willing to die for you rather than live for eternity without you. A love so strong and so pure that He extends toward us, and we must receive His love. Accept that wonderful, undeniable truth that Jesus loves you. Then the next thing is we are to reciprocate that love. He loves us. We should love in return. In Jesus' day, the rabbis, they would have disciples under them, but those disciples were really considered more like servants to the rabbi. The rabbi would give them all kinds of chores and things to do, and they would take care of the rabbi. And there wasn't really a real close connection there. You know, it was just a teacher-student kind of relationship. But Jesus changed the nature of that relationship. For His disciples, He said, "You are not my servants. You are my" what? "My friends." Look at verse 14. You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." He elevated them from that position of being a servant to the rabbi, to the teacher, to the master, to being the friend. Which then begs the question, what kind of friend are you then? We're the friends of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's one thing to say that Jesus loves us, but it's a whole other thing to say, I love Jesus. I know we got the old hymn that we sing, right? Oh, how I love Jesus. And we sing it on an occasion here, but how much do you really mean it? And if it's true, how do you show that you mean it? I mean, Christ's love for you should cause you to love Him in return. And your love for Him should be reflected in some way. And of course, the way your love for Him is reflected the best is in how you live your daily life. Jesus said the greatest commandment for God's people is what? Remember? They said, what's the greatest commandment? And He said, this is it. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. Our love for our Savior should be the driving force in our life. To love the Lord our God. So how do we reciprocate that love in a practical way? Well, I'd say it's pretty much like any other love relationship that we have in our life. How do we show our love? Well, it's Valentine's Day. Let's bring it home to our spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever it is that we're in a significant relationship with. I remember when I first fell in love with my wife. Well, she wasn't my wife at the time. But it seems like pretty much from day one I knew she was going to be. But when I first fell in love with her, I thought about her how often, you think? Constantly. All the time. While at work, while eating breakfast, while putting gas in my truck. She was just constantly on my mind, and I could not stop thinking about her. Talk to myself about her. I still do that. Contemplating all the things that I loved about her, constantly thinking about her. And even when we were far apart, that still kept her close to me because I was constantly thinking about her. And it's still much the same. I abided in her love for me, and I loved her in return. And I wanted to make sure that everything I did fostered that wonderful relationship that we had found with each other without doing anything that would adversely affect that relationship between us. Now, our love for Christ should be much the same way. Practically, how do we show our love for Christ? That's it. We are to constantly contemplate our Savior's love for us and allow that love to affect us every day of our life and everything that we do, and then continually make sure that we are doing the things that foster that wonderful relationship that we've found in our Savior. And to not do anything that would adversely affect this new relationship that we've found. When we see this on the surface, a lot of times it sounds like a threat, doesn't it? But Jesus says, you know, you love me if you do my commandments. You see verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. And it makes it sound as though in order to win God's love, in order to win our Savior's love, then we have to do, you know, whatever, fill in the blank. But that's not it. You see, when we think that way, we're thinking like a legalistic Pharisee and we've got it all backwards. You see, it's the love that comes first. We have to receive the love. He says, I love you. And we have to abide in that love and bask in that relationship that we have with our Savior. And when we do that, what happens? We want to please Him, right? It's not a burden of commandments so that we can earn the love. No, it's the love that we already have and we want to follow through in that relationship. We want to continue to foster it. Look at chapter 14 and verse 15. Chapter 14 and verse 15 of John says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And the word "if," the Greek word that's translated "if," sometimes gives us the wrong impression about the word. The word to us today would really mean more like "since." Since you love me, keep my commandments. What comes first, the commandments or the love? The love is first. Since you love me, keep my commandments. The relationship first, and then we actually desire to foster the relationship. And in our relationship with our Savior, the love that He has for us, it is a desire to keep His commandments, to be well-pleasing to Him, to walk in a right relationship with Him. And that walk is a byproduct, you see, of the love. Love fulfills the law. Have you heard that before? It's what the Scriptures say, right? And it's what Paul said, isn't it? For whatever the law was, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness. And if there be any other law, Paul said, it's briefly summed up in this. What? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love fulfills the law. There are laws on the books in the state of Texas that actually govern the relationship between a parent and a child. Do you know that as a parent, you have a legal obligation to care for your child? Did you know that? And if you don't, what could happen? You could be fined. You could go to jail. Your children could be taken away from you. If you don't follow the law and take care of your children. Now, to be honest, I can't tell you what all of those laws are. I've never read them. As the age of the internet, they're probably easily accessible. How many of you have gone on the internet and researched, you know, what the laws are and how to care for your child and what the consequences, the legal consequences may be if you don't? None of us, right? I never did. Because I can tell you this, though. I have never broken any of them. Tamara and I, as parents, have never broken any of those laws. Why? Because I love my children. I don't need to know what the laws are. I'm not going to break the laws because I love my children. And I fulfilled my obligation as a parent, not because the law said that's what I have to do. I fulfilled my obligation as a parent because I love my children. I relate to my children on the basis of love. And the natural byproduct of that love is that whatever those laws are in the legal books, I've always kept them. And so it is with us who love the Lord. It's really just turning over the everyday mundane things of our life into the Lord's hands. As we're doing everything, contemplating Him and having it affect our life and having a walk that's pleasing to Him. Not because there's some law that says this is what you have to do or don't do, but because we love our Lord. And so we follow through in action in our daily life to actually demonstrate that our love is true. We no longer do these things for ourselves, but now with someone else in mind as we do them. We no longer do that which we want, but what our Lord wants, what He would have us to do. And thereby, we keep His commandments. That's the basic meaning of Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Turn with me there. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Paul says, I beseech you, or I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Your bodies, the life that you have right now, just give it over to God. A living sacrifice, where the life that you live now is holy and acceptable to God. And that's our reasonable service. And we do it again, not really out of obligation, but really out of love. So we receive the love of Christ. We reciprocate that love, and then we are called to reproduce that love in our daily life. But we know that we're not the source, right? I want to clear that up. Again, it's the love of our Savior, really. Our love is a flawed love. It's the love of a fallen creature. The love that we should share with others is actually God's love. Look at verse 12 of John 15. It says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. We are called to share the love of Christ with the world. And not just in verbal testimony. I mean, we should do that. But that shouldn't be the extent of it. The love that we share with other people should be a love that manifests itself in actions, in deeds. A word closely akin to that is kindness in the Scriptures. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness. Kindness. Kindness is not, hey, how you doing? Hope you have a good day. That's not it. That's not the extent of the kindness that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The kindness that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit sees a need that someone else has and takes action to fulfill that need. And when you look at that for what God has done for us, the character of God is kindness. And because of God's kindness, He saw our spiritual need and He took great sacrifice to fulfill that need on our behalf. That's what scriptural kindness is. That's the kindness that's to be reproduced in us. And that only happens if we're abiding in the love of God. Reaching out by actions, deeds, good works to other people. It's most often the best way to get people's attention, for them to see that, hey, being a Christian really is different. There really is something there. There's something about it. And notice the breadth and depth of the love that we are called to demonstrate. What did he say at the end of verse 12? This is a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Wow. An unselfish, sacrificial love. And you know, Jesus actually demonstrated that just hours before he told them this. It was springtime in Israel at this time. You know what happens in the springtime in Israel? Rains come. It's the spring rains. And that's good, right? Because it waters the fields and helps promote a fertile planting season. It also helps the vegetation grow on the hills and helps for the grazing of the various livestock. But it also turns the dirt roads of Palestine into a muddy mess during this time. What that looked like varied between slippery muddy to thick sludge on the roads that could be several inches deep. You imagine as people and livestock and everything travel on this road, this dirt road that's been rained upon, and they didn't have, you know, these big old heavy boots to wear. What did they wear? Sandals. Well, now, what do you think would happen when you wear sandals on those roads? Yeah, you can just imagine the mud squishing up between your toes and your sandals. Your feet are going to get very dirty. So when guests arrive at the home, it was customary for a servant to be waiting by the door with a wash basin and a dry towel to wash the feet of the guests who were coming. John 13 records how Jesus took that role upon himself and he washed the disciples' feet. Now, maybe you always had this image of us sitting here in church like this and me coming down and washing your feet. No, it was much worse than that. Look, their feet weren't clean. Their feet hadn't been protected by socks and shoes. They were just wearing sandals out in the muddy spring roads. And Jesus, the Son of God, the Alpha and Omega, got down on his knees before them and washed their filthy feet. That is the true demonstration of love, of the Lord's humility and service. It was a demonstration of his boundless love because he expressed that love by serving his disciples. Look at John chapter 13, verse 34. He says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." How many times does he have to say it, you think? Listen, you ever had children before? And you tell them something, how many times do you have to tell them? You know, we're the children of God, and God understands that sometimes there are some concepts that we have a little difficulty with, and he needs to keep telling us to make sure that we get it. And I think God does need to keep telling us, and we need to keep being reminded that we are called to love one another. And it's not just the surface, superficial kind of love, but a love that really cares, a love that's really interested in our fellow neighbor, to love our neighbor as ourselves. John repeated this again. Look at 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3 and verse 23. "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." John remembers that Jesus Christ gave us this new commandment to love one another. As I said earlier, fulfilling the commandments of Jesus really is all about loving one another. All the commandments are fulfilled in one directive: love your neighbor as yourself. As we seek to grow in our capacity to love and to have a love worth sharing, we need to continue to look to our Savior and see the way that he demonstrated love, and then learn to love like him. Learn to love as he does. Valentine became famous for defying the emperor and standing up for love, standing up for marriage. But what really made him a great man was that he received the love of Jesus. And he reciprocated that love, and then he reproduced that love in a life of service. In fact, so committed to that service that it ended up costing him his life. Well, when you and I do that, receive the love of Christ, reciprocate that love and reproduce that love, then we become great and the family of God. We in church should first and foremost be a community of loving people. We are called to love one another, not just on Valentine's Day, but every day. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this time we have this morning to look into your word once again. We just thank you that you've given us the strength to put it into practice in our daily life. And though we struggle severely on a daily basis with this indwelling sin nature that Paul illustrates so clearly toward the end of Romans chapter 7, we just thank you that you've given us the power to overcome through the indwelling Holy Spirit, so that we can indeed live out the commandment that has been given to us as our responsibility to love one another, with the extent of your love Father, a love that's unconditional, a love that is not dependent upon mood or attitude or appearance, but a love that just has made a decision to love. We just thank you, Father, that you've given us that power through your indwelling love, that you allow us the privilege to share your love that you've given us with those around us. Pray, Father, that we just continue to prepare ourselves to be used by you, to have the opportunities to speak of and to share in action and good deeds this love that you've given toward us. It's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we ask this prayer. Amen.